Super Bowl. Tom Brady, you are the man. You are the GOAT.
The Tampa Bay Rays are going to the World Series.
The Lady have done it! They have done it! They have gone back to back!
Tampa Bay, so hot right now as the Lightning captured their second consecutive Stanley Cup last night. And that means Lord Stanley will return to Tampa, but fear not, hockey fans. The 34.5-pound cup isn't going to be tossed anytime soon, as it reminded Tom Brady via Twitter, as you can see right here. But before the cup gets too comfortable, Brady reminded us through his own tweet that a little liquid courage can go a long way in boosting anybody's strength, as you see right here. I don't know. Everything feels a bit lighter after some tequila. I can't confirm that. Maybe the guys here can tell me a little bit about it, though. But we're NFL Live with Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Spears, and Jeff Darlington. I am Field Yates. Marcus, let me ask you first. Do you think Brady can make the toss of Lord Stanley's Cup?
Hell yeah, Phil. I couldn't, because when I get that liquid courage, I get weaker. But it looked like Tom Brady gets stronger.
There
man.
We go.
I don't know what wrong he can do anyway. So he'll probably toss that too.
Yeah, we'll get more serious here. I guess we'll talk about football. And Jeff, we'll begin with you on this Brady and the Bucs experiment. Could it be that the Buccaneers, who won the Super Bowl last year in convincing fashion, are actually ahead of schedule at this point in the Tom Brady era?
So I believe they are, and I base this off of some conversations that I had last season, including one with Tom Brady, in which I pointed out toward late in the regular season to him that suddenly felt like the offense was starting to click, to which he responded, just wait until next year. And this is the thing, like when you talk to people within the organization, they recognize that mid-season when things weren't exactly clicking, they were saying, hey, this is a process, probably more like a two-year process. This is now a situation where they're basically playing with the house's money. When it comes to repeating, usually the hard one is the second one. In the case of the Bucks, the hard one actually feels more like the first one. I should put out this disclaimer, though. They're all hard, and it is not easy to repeat. We know this. Just ask the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen one in the NFL in terms of a Super Bowl champion. But, Dan, if the Bucks don't repeat next year, what will be the headline the morning after their final game of the season?
It would say the Washington football team turns back the hands of time and their giant front four knocks Tom Brady around. You guys like that word?
That was pretty good.
I think it's that simple.
I'm really proud of you.
I really do. Thank you. It's that simple for me. It's not about what team can outscore their offense. It's not who's going to have a better wide receiver. What defense can kind of shut down their – it's going to be what front four can whoop the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive front five. And if we're looking at just like – let's focus on the NFC. What team has like that makeup, that defensive makeup that you know they've got a dominant front four? It's Washington by a mile, maybe outside of the Los Angeles Rams in the conversation. That's also the team that had a little bit of success against the Bucs in the playoffs last year. With that addition of William Jackson in the back end and Allen in the middle, the second year for some of their defensive linemen, obviously the big boy from Ohio State, Chase Young, this defensive front four is going to be outstanding. And I think it's the most equipped defensively to beat the Bucs.
Yeah, as we saw in that playoff game, as you mentioned, Dan, Taylor Heinicke nearly went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady for at least most of that game. But a team that was not able to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady for much of a game last year was the Chiefs, as their quarterback Patrick Mahomes could not find a way with the depleted offensive line. He joined First Take earlier today and spoke about coming up short in that game and fortifying his budding rivalry with Tom Brady.
I think I did a little bit more right after the game happened. At this point, I'm at the point where I'm ready to go for this next season. I think that's the best thing about this league is that you start from scratch every single year. And we have the team and the players to make a run at it. We just have to put in the work every single day.
Can we one day have that LeBron-Michael Jordan debate with you and Tom Brady?
I mean, it's still early for the LeBron-Michael Jordan stuff. But for me, if you're in this league, you're trying to win. You're trying to be the best player on that football field every single day. Tom's done it for a long time, and he's won a lot of Super Bowls. And so when you're coming up and you're watching football, you want to go out there and win championships like he's done. And so I'm going to try to do whatever I can to every single year put us in position that we can win a lot of championships, hopefully.
Swagoo, Patrick Mahomes entering his fifth season in the NFL. Is Tom Brady the right comparison for him as a player?
Yeah, it's the right comparison when you talk about career accomplishments. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. When it comes from physical attributes, the things he's able to do, Tom Brady never could. But the thing that everybody is chasing about Tom Brady is the level of consistency at a high level of play for an extended period of time. And it involves more than just the quarterback. When you look at what the New England Patriots were able to do with Tom, it was a three-headed monster. It was Robert Kraft, it was Bill Belichick, and it was Tom Brady. And those things never changed. And for Patrick Mahomes, he may go through a transition with a new head coach if Andy Reid hangs it up, presumably before he decides to retire. If you think about Veach, the general manager who's done a tremendous job in Kansas City, is he going to stay in place? But based on what we see now from Patrick Mahomes and the way the Kansas City Chiefs have committed to making sure they keep a team around him and keep him protected, that is the right comp. And I know it's far-fetched to think that many Super Bowls, that many times. Think about this, fellas. Patrick Mahomes, 5 years, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 AFC championship appearances in that time. So it's not far-fetched to think about it right now for Patrick Mahomes.
Marcus, that's a really good point about the consistency that existed in New England. And the one thing that I find interesting is right now, Patrick Mahomes is still in this phase where he's winning, he's invincible. Tom Brady has talked about that, about how it wasn't until probably the 2010 kind of era of Tom Brady that he realized how hard it was to do what he did early in his career. When you're going to back-to-back Super Bowls, winning one, winning MVPs, just able to do anything that you want to do on the field, like, it feels easy. And Brady's point is that over time you start to realize how challenging that is. For now, Mahomes is in that nice phase. What happens when he does hit some of the inevitable adversity? I think he seems to be the personality that will persevere, but certainly that is something that I look forward to finding out.
Yeah, the Super Bowl was certainly really the first major roadblock of Patrick Mahomes' career. But, Dan, sometimes we forget just how young Mahomes is, given how much he's accomplished in his skill set. What do you expect to see from Mahomes on the field this season?
The best offense we've seen since he took over as their starting quarterback, and it's because of this revamped offensive line. This is going to be one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. Not just okay, but better. And if we think about the Chiefs' offense under Patrick Mahomes, it's really been like pass game with a sprinkle of run game. Now it's going to be pass game and the kind of heavy dose, or the ability to get a heavy dose of their run game. Everyone needs to understand, when play callers Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy to a week, the first question they always ask themselves to start their game planning is, what will our offensive line allow us to do this week as a defense, or as an offense versus the defense, right? Well, now with this offensive line, they can sit there and go, well, does the defense have somebody that can match the speed of Tyreek Hill? And then does the defense have somebody that can match the skill set of Travis Kelce? And then the defense have somebody that can match against Clyde Edwards-Helaire, both in the run and the pass game, and the speed to match Mecole Hardman? They're going to be able to do whatever they want because of that offensive line. And now we're going to see Patrick Mahomes. He's always had the ability to turn around and hand the ball off and utilize some play action. But think about the hardball play action that they're going to be able to do, because not only is this offensive line going to keep him clean, I think this offensive line could be dominant in the run game for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think wide receiver depth is the only spot that gives me a little bit of pause there, but so much talent on that offense.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Being around him allowed me to know what true greatness is.
Greatest of all time. I'm probably in that conversation.
Rodgers throws, touchdown, yes! My squad, you can't
touch, MVP of this game. Most valuable player. I feel like I've been in the conversation.
Right now, give him the edge at MVP. MVP of this
game, you can't touch. That player is also the best player.
Aaron Rodgers just earned his third MVP award last season, becoming just the 6th player in NFL history to win the award 3 times. But the young guns are making a push in the NFL. Of the last three MVP winners, two have been on rookie contracts in Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Our own Bill Barnwell released an MVP article today, breaking down potential candidates to win the award this season. Included in his breakdown is a list of quarterbacks on rookie deals that could win the prestigious award. Here's a look at his 13 candidates from the group, which includes the likes of Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield, plus Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert. Barnwell's favorite from this group, though, is Kyler Murray. That begs the question, who do we see making the leap from this group as we get to quick reads? Who could be the player on a rookie contract that enters the MVP conversation this season? Dan, we'll start with you. Who do you got?
I'm going with the big hammer, Josh Allen from Buffalo Field. Everyone continues to point to last year and his big jump. Go back to 2 years ago and his last 29 starts. That's last year, 2020 season, and 19. Josh Allen has thrown for 59 touchdowns and 13 picks and completed almost 70% of his passes. It wasn't just last year. It's his last 30 games. He's been one of the best players in the league.
Man, ain't nobody asked you for all them damn stats. I'm talking about Kyler Murray, the excitement, the juice. Look, when he got injured last year, it looked like he lost a little bit. But in order for this team, the Arizona Cardinals, to win this division, Kyler Murray is going to have to play at an MVP level. And why wouldn't he with all of the weapons that's around him? D-Hop, you go out and get AJ and Fitz coming back. Kyler Murray will be in that conversation at the end.
Well, Swagu, I could talk about stats with Justin Herbert, but I'm not going to. I believe that this guy is going to take massive step forward despite the stats that he put. I believe in the player himself and what he's been able to do. I remember being at the Tampa game last year when Herbert went head-to-head with Brady and looked like an absolute stud out there. And I was fully convinced from that moment on that this guy has what it takes to not only be a star in the NFL, but a budding MVP.
Yeah, and a much better offensive line this year for Herbert. So the Rams, the other LA team, hope they may have an MVP candidate, which they acquired this offseason as the team made a splash trade for longtime Lions star Matthew Stafford. Amongst the fans of the acquisition was Kyle Shanahan, who will now face Stafford twice a season, and broke down the acquisition on the Flying Coach podcast.
What did you think when you saw that we traded for Stafford?
You don't want to get me started, dude. That was frustrating. Yeah, he's better than I had realized. I mean, he was the man, and he's actually underrated to me. So I know how good of a guy he got. I know how good he is at play action. I know how smart he is. And not only does he just have a big arm, but he's got touch, and he knows where to go with the ball.
Hey, Dan, the interviewer in that podcast you just heard is Rams head coach and burgeoning media star Sean McVay. Obviously, he was influential in bringing Stafford in. It's a simple question in L.A. right now. Who is under more pressure, head coach Sean McVay or quarterback Matthew Stafford?
I think it's Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford is under the most pressure out of any quarterback in the NFL. The great thing about this situation is Matthew Stafford eats pressure. Just ask all the teams he's played against with fourth quarter leads in the last 10 years. No quarterback in the NFL has got more fourth quarter comebacks over the last decade in the NFL than Matthew Stafford. I think the second place guy is like five. You're talking about a guy that's like, okay, bring the pressure, bring the moment to me. And the great thing about it for me, Field, is like everybody in the country that is a football fan is going to realize what players that played against Matthew know, that he's unbelievable, and that players that played with Matthew know, that he's unbelievable, and that the guy is gonna relish this moment. And I would say this when it comes to the football team. There has not been a quarterback that has been, at least to Matthew Stafford's talent level, to play in this style of scheme offensively since John Elway did with the Broncos. This scheme, this Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak scheme often elevates players quarterback-wise, good to really good, really good to great, great to special. Matthew Stafford's the most talented that will play in this scheme since John Elway. He's got a ton of pressure to go and perform at a high level.
See, I guess it's all about how we define pressure, too, because, like, to me, pressure is about expectations, and I don't necessarily know that there's that high of expectations on Matt Stafford. I disagree. I think most people understand Stafford's a very talented player who just hasn't been able to win in Detroit. And yes, maybe he can accomplish that in L.A., but to me, the most pressure perhaps of anybody in the NFL is on Sean McVay. I mean, Sean was already anointed. Like, we believe that Sean McVay is this brilliant mind, this guy who can take a team and not only get them to the Super Bowl, but potentially win it. He has not done that yet with Jared Goff. If you send two first-round picks away and to get the quarterback and send the other quarterback that you also paid away, you better win with him. So to me, after all the first-round picks that they've spent, after all the talk, now it's on McVay. I think he knows it. I think he's capable of living up to it. But at the same time, to me, nobody in the NFL has more pressure on them than Sean McVay.
I'm in the same vein with you, Jeff. I understand what you're saying, D.O., about Matthew Stafford, but Sean McVay is the guy, and I go back even further. All of these moves that's been made in order to set the Los Angeles Rams up to win a Super Bowl, go and get Jalen Ramsey. You know, obviously, when you think about all of the future that they've given away for the now, it's Sean McVay's responsibility to get this thing done, included with bringing Matthew Stafford over. All of the guys in the NFL, to Dan's point, no, Matthew Stafford. I've been a part of one of those comebacks, being up, I think, 24. Mm-hmm. And he ripped off a comeback in the game. But I do disagree with you, D.O. The player that's under the most pressure in the NFL is Carson Wentz, your ex-boo, the dude that you used to love that you don't love no more than Baker Mayfield. But he's the guy that's under the most pressure. Matthew Stafford will ball out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, all right. First of all, we can go to a different segment, son, and you can have your chance to go bash the quarterback. All of a sudden, you got this floating helmet in your background and think you can get loose with your lips. I got no idea how that helmet is floating in your background. I'll put it simply like this, okay? Simply like this. If it doesn't work out for the Rams and Sean McVay gets fired, 31 other teams are going to be lining up to try to hire Sean McVay. If it doesn't work out for the Rams and they decide to move on from Matthew Stafford in 2 years, you're not going to have a ton of teams lining up for Matthew Stafford. That's why the pressure is incredibly high for him to capitalize on the opportunity now.
Well, and part of the expectations are going to be a playoff win at least, and a reminder that no quarterback in NFL history has thrown for more yards or touchdowns without a playoff win than Matthew Stafford. Hey.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I can't do this don't give up thing all by myself. This whole fight, this journey thing is not a solo venture. This is something that requires support.
You can honor Stuart Scott by supporting his cancer research fund at v.org/Stuart. And tune into the ESPYs for incredible stories of perseverance and inspiration. Saturday on ABC.
Game 2 of the NBA Finals tonight at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on ABC and ESPN Deportes. Giannis and the Bucks look to even the series, while Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and the Suns try to take a 2-0 lead. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 8:30 and can both be seen streaming live on the ESPN app from anywhere. One app, one tap. There's no greater gift to an NFL quarterback and his offense than a free play, and that usually comes courtesy of the hard count. While the scouting combine famously measures speed and power, agility, explosiveness, and intellect, a quarterback's voice control usually goes overlooked. Last season, the Chiefs and Browns drew the most offsides penalties on opposing defenses in the NFL, and it's no surprise that both of those teams have notable quarterbacks in Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, as they both look to keep defenses guessing. Here's Steve Young with more on the art of the hard count.
A classic melody has a familiar, comfortable rhythm. When you crank up the cadence, torque up the tempo, it can suddenly become very uncomfortable. In the brutal trenches of the NFL, the instrument of chaos is the quarterback's voice.
First of all, I have a great voice to do it. I think it scares the defense a little bit.
I think it's one of those things that you got to play the game. You got to play the game to know the game.
It's kind of an art.
This is the art and craft of the hard count.
Try to get us a free one before the 2 minute, okay?
Like a pitcher changing speeds and locations.
Five, seven, hot. Let's go.
The quarterback's mere manner of speaking can keep defenses off balance.
It's a game to really manipulate the defense and to really put a challenge on the defense to make calls and to process things too as well.
Got those big defensive ends. If they know your snap count, they're blowing past the tackle before the tackle even has to drop step.
Who you're going against? Is it a defensive front where they're very passive and they're just not trying to get to the quarterback? Or is it a defense where they got some guys that's getting paid $20 million to get the football? You just kind of switch it up, you know, keep people on their toes.
It's super important to change your voice, change your tone, change the decibels of your voice, inflection.
Like learning a complicated instrument, the rhythm of a hard count takes years to master. John Gruden was one of Jared Goff's teachers.
Jared Goff, good to see you,
man. Good to see you, too.
We're going to go on a hard two. It's got to sound exactly like you're on one. That's when you're going to get great at it. Aaron Rodgers, unbelievable.
Yep.
He'll go out the whole game. Blue 45. Blue 45. Sit hut. Blue 45. Blue 45. Sit hut. Then it's blue 45. Blue 45. Sit hut. Hard count.
Yeah.
Let me hear your hard count. Come on, get me going. Stand up. Let me see. Feel me feel you.
Blue 80. Blue 80.
Sit hut. Sit hut. Okay, it's going to be set hut and then hut.
Okay.
Okay.
Do it again.
Let me hear it.
Blue 80. Blue 80.
Sit hut. Hut. Perfect. Good. Good. Good, good, good.
I think the main thing I've learned is how to mix up rhythms and mix up timing and mix up the standard rhythm of your count and the standard rhythm of the game.
The primary goal of the hard count is a 5-yard offsides penalty.
Oh, let it go, let it go.
And ideally, a free play.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
So it's like green 18, green, it's a set. And I do that for like 5 plays straight. And then on second and medium, I kind of switch up the green. Green 18, green is set.
And then there's the less obvious, perhaps more important outcome of a well-executed hard count.
It doesn't have to just be our pass game. To have them not knowing when the ball's being snapped to where our O-line can get off the ball and reestablish the line of scrimmage.
Great hard count. This is something new for Baker Mayfield.
It's pretty vital to our offense.
Sometimes the quarterback's hard count is so convincing, his own offense is fooled.
We practice this in training camp the whole time. We have a lot of false starts, but we really train those offensive linemen and those receivers to sit in and really watch the ball.
I can't tell you how many times we go over what the cadence is in the huddle. You know, you'd be like, hey, we're running X, Y, and Z plays on a hard three, hard three, hard three, hard three, hard three. And then somebody jumps off sides and you're like, come on, man. How many times do I got to tell you in the huddle?
Today's quarterbacks are masters. Let us count the ways.
Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson. They do a really good job.
Aaron Rodgers has been better than anybody.
In fact, over the last 20 seasons, Aaron Rodgers has thrown for 17 touchdowns on free plays. That's more than Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Ben Roethlisberger combined.
A lot of times you can see out of your peripheral, you know, the line judges and see if they threw the flag or not.
Rodgers has a free play, a lot left side of the end zone. Touchdown!
He's burned us a couple of times, so I don't appreciate that, but I've definitely listened to some of their audio.
58!
Let's go!
When you have a cadence that we have that's not really a rhythmic cadence, and you have so many different options as far as the cadence goes, it's a really big weapon for us.
All right, Dan, I'm having a blast watching that feature while watching you watch that feature and work on your own hard count. Are you willing to give us a hard count of your own while on national TV? No one's watching, I promise.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a couple of them. First of all, I want to make sure that everyone understands why we do it. Never underestimate how dumb a defense is. Never give them too much credit. They play defense for a reason. And there's always a dummy. There's always a guy we can go get. So the hard counts, I know Marcus is going to like those. The hard counts would go like this. I'm going to do them on national television. Look at his face.
No one's watching.
If I just went on a normal one cadence, I'd be like, green 18, green 18, hut. All right, that's normal one. Then if I told my offense, like, hey, we're going on a two here, just regular, we're going two. Green 18, hut, hut. Okay, so it's kind of somewhat close. Then I would say, like, fellas, we're going on a hard two here. Hard two, sit in. And that would sound like, green 18, hut, hut. Okay, so you want them to jump on that first, hut. And then if we went into three, like, okay, I'm going to three here. This is the Aaron Rodgers special. I was the scout team quarterback all the time for Rodgers. It would sound like this. Green 19, hut, hut, hut. And you would get him on that second hut, hut. You get him to jump, give me my free play, and we go. So that's, and then we could go into different levels of, all right, if I go with a hard four, I would go green 19, hut, hut, hut. That third hut would get him to jump. I would get Marcus Spears every day in practice if I played against him.
You know, Dan, unfortunately, your hard count doesn't appear to work on Swaggoo, who looks so zen right now, completely unfazed. Your thoughts on the matter, Marcus?
I would get that good at jumping.
First of all, you gotta have vocals to get people to jump, which obviously Darren Orlovsky doesn't have. And second of all, when you get veterans like me, you looking at the ball, okay? Number one is,
I would get you on the
point,
ball.
Man, on a serious note, that hard count is hell, and it's more important when you in 2 minute drill, in the half drill. That's when those pass rushers got their ears pinned back. I'll never forget, DeMarcus Ware used to tell me all the time, Spears, they gonna get me on hard count one or two times this game. And it's usually those type of guys that you get because they are keying everything. They trying to figure out how to get a jump on everything. But Dan wouldn't have got nobody to jump. Everybody asleep. Hey, matter of fact, throughout that feature, it wasn't one damn hard count by Dan Orlovsky, was it?
We weren't able to clear
you
the
lying.
Tape for those.
You lying.
I was going to say, Daniel, there's got to be a couple of existing somewhere, right?
Oh, we got a couple. This is what I would do to Marcus Spears, Field, this is what I would do to Marcus Spears. I'd go to our coaches and be like, yo, big fella just stares at my hands underneath. I'm going to hard count, and when I hard count, I'm going to give him my hands flash. When I hand flash, Marcus is going to be like, stumble into offensive line. I'd be like, blue 20.
Field.
Blue
20 said,
hut! And he would jump off my hands, and it would be a wrap.
Babyface.
I hear you, Swaggoo.
Babyface, ask him why he didn't do that to Jared Allen. All right, let's go to commercial.
Hey, I'm just glad Dan's kids are a little bit older now. You can't be practicing the hard count while they're trying not to nap.
Way too hard at that field.
Oh, man, this segment went right off the rails.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's the Weekend of Champions on ESPN, ABC, and ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Saturday morning, we'll have the ladies' Wimbledon final. Saturday night, we'll have the 29th annual ESPY Awards and UFC 264. Sunday morning, the gentlemen's Wimbledon final is on ESPN with the Euro final in the afternoon. And finally, Suns-Bucks, Game 3 of the NBA Finals caps the weekend. I cannot wait. All right, time now to read and react, starting with some wisdom from Swaggoo's old teammate DeMarcus Ware on the Cowboys' defense. This offseason, the Cowboys hired Dan Quinn as defensive coordinator and used their first six draft picks on players on the defensive side of the ball. Here's what Ware had to say about Dallas' defense entering this season. Last year, they didn't mesh that well. Now you have a new coach coming in. who are going to be those established leaders. I look for that like the first three games. How many guys actually mesh? How many mistakes they make? How disruptive the defense is going to be? That's going to be a little telltale of how the season's going to go. All right, Marcus, do you agree with DeMarcus on his take on the Cowboys?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, playing on the same defense with DeMarcus, where I understand where he's coming from, and obviously you want to see those guys who's going to get everybody not only lined up, but everybody in the right frame of mind to play. We were a part of a 2005 draft class when Dallas defense was coming off of a bad year and a lot of young guys had to be relied upon. So, yeah, you'll start to find out. You'll start to see these guys get back to their disruptive selves, guys like DeMarcus Lawrence, and obviously bringing in Michael Parsons and Jalen Smith moving more to his natural position at the outside linebacker spot. I'm looking forward to seeing that and that leadership rise and see how fast Dan Quinn can influence these guys and get them going.
No doubt about that. After 1 year with Phillip Rivers, the Colts made a switch at quarterback again this offseason, trading for Carson Wentz and reuniting him with head coach Frank Reich. Here is what GM Chris Ballard had to say about the weapons surrounding Wentz.
I'm betting on Michael Pittman, who I think's got a chance to be really good. I thought he ended the year strong. He had a big playoff game with over 100 yards. Everybody just ignores Zach Pascal, but all he's done is catch 14 touchdowns over the last 2 years. We think we're a little better than other people do. Is there a guy that, you know, you just line up and go, holy crap, man, how are we going to stop this guy? Maybe not, but they are really damn good players.
I completely agree with GM Chris Ballard. I think he looks at football with Frank Reich a lot like the NBA, almost positionless football where they've got backs who catch passes and tight ends who can do a little bit of everything. If you go back to the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles team with Frank Reich, they look a lot like this 2021 Colts team. They're not going to have a tailback that might not rush for over 1,000 yards. The Eagles had three guys that went over 400 yards. They might not have a 1,000 receiver like the Eagles didn't in 2017. They had four guys go over 600 yards. It's about ball distribution. They've got Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. He might be a bell cow back, but it's how many different ways can they get the ball to all those different pieces on the outside.
Carson Wentz set up for some potential success. Hey, the Jaguars drafted versatile running back Travis Etienne, 25th overall out of Clemson, pairing him with his college quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Here's what Etienne had to say about getting reps at the wide receiver position. Quote, "Now I am just like kind of learning real receiver routes and having Trev here to go just do simple things as run routes outside and just kind of go over it by ourselves. It has really been great for me and really helped me just speed up that process." Jeff, I hand the baton to you.
Well, I think the initial, probably lazy take, admittedly, would be one that my initial take was, which is, oh, here we go again. We got a college coach coming into the NFL, doing all these cute little things. Why not just focus on real football? But Dan Orlovsky just made a good point about the Colts situation that probably applies to this a little bit. That, look, if you can get a running back to also be a pass catcher, that makes him more versatile. And by the way, they both played together at Clemson, so Trevor Lawrence knows how to hand the ball off to Etienne. So I think, though, that it is interesting when you see college coaches come to the NFL, especially offensive-minded guys, Chip Kelly, Cliff Kingsbury, going way back to Steve Spurrier. They always try to implement their offense in a unique way. The question is, when do they have to alter it to fit more of the NFL prototype? That's the question here, but maybe not exactly when it just comes to Etienne.
All right, so Dan, what are your thoughts on the usage of Etienne, jumping off what Jeff had to say there?
Yeah, very smart by the Jaguars. If they were not doing this, I would be on television killing them. First of all, there are running backs in the NFL. That's the Derrick Henrys and maybe the Nick Chubbs of the world. And then there's guys, and I've been pushing this movement, that we need to put in a different category, the producers. It's the Aaron Jones. It's the CMCs. It's the Alvin Kamaras. I don't care how they get their yards. They just get their yards. And it's a lot of time with the running, but it's a lot of time with the pass catching. Look at that. In the last 3 years, the most scrimmage yards, those top four guys, only one of them is a true, okay, we're just going to turn around and bell cow it to him. Ezekiel Elliott is even at a quarter of his yardage through the air. McCaffrey and Kamara are almost half of their yards. They're not just your historical tailbacks. And I like the fact that Jaguars are going, okay, Etienne, we're going to line you out. We're going to give you a hitch route. You know what? We're going to line you up and maybe could give you a deep ball one-on-one with the linebacker. Those are those matchups that are part of the NFL right now. And I would say this. We need to continue to reshape our mindset when it comes to touches. Because a lot of times we go tailback in touches and we think it's just turning around and giving them the ball. Travis Etienne is a guy that should get 20 to 25 touches a game, however they happen.
Just was a little bit surprising to me in the first round, only because of James Robinson's incredible rookie season. But a reminder about Etienne, his final two seasons at Clemson, he showcased his ability as a pass catcher, leading all FBS running backs in receiving yards after the catch per reception and yards after contact per reception. So a guy who can do good things when the football is in his hand.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL Live is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Black Widow. Experience it in theaters or on Disney Plus with Premier Access this Friday.
I woke up a bad man, and can't nobody stop me. I'm untouchable.
When you wake up, you gotta be ready to go.
And when I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
His mentality of, I will win no matter what, makes him dangerous.
At any point, any play, he can make a big play.
I said I woke up feeling dangerous, sir!
Waking up feeling dangerous, something I've been saying on game days to a few family members and some friends. Just the mentality on game days.
It's going to be a special year, bro. That may sound like something Baker Mayfield would say, yet this is from Odell Beckham Jr. to teammate Jarvis Landry in Landry's new YouTube series, Just Juice. Here's what Baker had to say about expectations. Quote, expectations come from our own locker room. You set your own standards. You can't listen to the stuff, to the outside stuff, and that's what matters because you can feed into the good stuff or the bad, and it's all going to negatively affect you. Dan, are you buying this more subdued approach from Baker Mayfield? I don't know if Dan's trying to impersonate the new subdued Baker Mayfield himself. Might have been a connection issue with some storms here in Connecticut. So, Jake Darlington, I'll turn it to you. Are you buying this more subdued version of Baker Mayfield?
What if I just sat here, too, and just stared at the camera like we're all just pretending to subdue Baker Mayfield? You know what? I am buying a subdued Baker Mayfield. And it's not that I think that he is subdued internally. I think he is just as motivated as he's always been. But I love the idea of I'm going to show you, not just tell you, what I'm about to do. And by the way, I'm not convinced that as soon as he does that, he won't go back to being the same lovable, obnoxious guy that is Baker Mayfield. I think 100%. I think that I like the idea of the Browns in general. Now that all these people are starting to buy into them and believe the hype, that maybe it's best for him to step back and say, you know what? We're just going to show you what we can do rather than tell you.
Jeff, I'm glad you made that caveat because we know damn well Baker still internally is that guy that everybody talked about the chip on his shoulder and all of the things that he brings into the game and the hype and all of that type of stuff. But it is a maturity from him, understanding that I need to play a different game in public. And I give him kudos for that, but also kudos for how he played last year. And it's not so much as Baker in the entirety of a season. Baker wasn't no damn MVP candidate. He didn't blow people out of the water when it came to his quarterback numbers and what he did, touchdown to interception ratio. But what he did, what I enjoyed most, and what I think every quarterback that wants to win a Super Bowl has to have, he showed up in the big moments. And those moments, when they present themselves, you're going to have to continue to answer the bell. We don't think of Tom Brady as the GOAT on the third week of a Sunday against the Jets, and he threw for 350 and three touchdowns. We think of him when he came back against Atlanta. We think of him when he did what he did in Tampa this year. Those are the things that get you in those type of conversations. And last year, I saw Baker Mayfield answer the the bell time and time again in high-pressure situations. But he's still that braggadocious guy now.
Yeah, you can't change your stripes, as they say. That's right. Hey, Dan, we got you back here. What are your thoughts on Baker's perhaps altered approach going into this season?
Yeah, the ego braggadocious guy is always inside of us. Listen, I think that if this offense stays healthy and Odell can fit into be a piece, this offense can play with anybody in the NFL. And that's one of the reasons why, because they're led by Baker Mayfield. I wanted to take everybody back to April 25th, 2018, when the Browns selected Baker Mayfield to be the number one pick in this draft. If they could have written out the dream scenario over three seasons to get to, they would be exactly where they are right now. They'd be coming off their first playoff victory in years with a Super Bowl caliber roster and a quarterback that's good enough to go win them the Super Bowl. The reality is this, that they have earned the right to have those expectations. And they have earned the right to prove people wrong, like Marcus Spears, or prove people right, like me, Dan Orlovsky. And so the Browns, led by Baker Mayfield, while they may say some things externally to the outside, internally, their expectation is to be playing in Los Angeles come February.
Wow, I love the payback there from Dan at Swag.
You don't want to acknowledge 2 years ago? You don't want to acknowledge 2 years ago when you had them winning their division and going deep in the playoffs? You don't want to talk about that part, huh?
Ooh, that sounds like another day.
They had you coaching them.
Another topic for
another day. They had you and your floating – They had you and your floating helmet coaching them. You know what you are right now? My kids don't shut the doors.
Oh, come on. You two got to leave it for another day.
I got to fly around my office because my kids don't shut the door. It's like you.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to let you guys have another 30 or so seconds on this one. Dan, get that last point out that you're trying to make there.
I was just trying to say that my kids don't shut the doors in my house, so now I got a fly flying around here, and that fly is annoying me, and that's what I feel like Marcus Spears does to me when it comes to the Browns or Baker Mayfield. He just wants to try to annoy me with just like these little disparaging marks and his floating around.
Swagoo?
Well, we can always tell the truth.
Yeah, well, plenty more of this debate and so much more ahead on NFL Live in subsequent days. Training camp is getting closer. Football, we cannot wait for you to be back. More on NFL Live tomorrow, same time, same place.